Perhaps we should make a declaration first before we begin. We believe, obviously, what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have. So if you can have it on the screen, please. We're going to make that declaration together, really believing that. Okay, and I think I'm going to be amplifying what Dino and Amy has been sharing, I sense in the Spirit. So let's declare that together. One, well, we're going to say Amos chapter 3, verse 3 first, that two cannot walk together lest they are agreed. Okay, so we got to agree together. Amen? All right, so one, two, three. We believe. Sorry, we will win. Okay, let's start again. One, two, three. We will win because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. And we're going to walk and agree with God. It says, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about understanding the times. Understanding the times that we are living in. And I think that ties very closely to what Dino and Amy are mentioning right now. And the times that we are living in. I want to start off by reading 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And this is what it says. This is what it says about a group of people in the scriptures in the Old Testament. And it says here, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I want you to pay attention to those two things right here. They, number one, understood the times. And number two, they knew what they ought to do. Okay? What I want to first do this morning, to begin with, is to challenge us to understand the times that we are living in. And I pray that as we go through this, and as we continue to walk our Christian life, that God will help us to understand the times, number one. And number two, that we will know what we ought to do. We are living in a world that is filled with confusion, with all kinds of different ideologies, and different kind of things that don't work, but is put out there as it works, and ends up causing destructions in families and life and culture and society because the Word of God is not being upheld. So I want to challenge us, first of all, understand the times that we are living in. Number two, I want to read Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. And this is what it says about this man whom God used for about at least 70 years of ministry and reigned. During the reign of several kings while he was taken in captivity in Babylon. He went in as a young man and God began to give him visions and wisdom and understanding in all visions and dreams. And this is what it says about him. And he was probably at the age of 80-something by the time we read Daniel chapter 9. And this is what it says. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to pay attention to those words that are bold. Okay? Number one, the first word is understood. The books, the number of years, the word of the Lord, Jeremiah, the prophet. So here, I want to highlight this to you this morning. Daniel understood. He understood the numbers. He understood years. He understood the timing. And next slide, please. And this is what it says. I want three things here. I want you to pay attention. He did it by the script, by the book. Or by the books, referring to the scriptures, the Bible. By the word of the Lord. What is God saying now, Remember, in the Old Testament, and the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came to the prophets, and they began to declare what God was saying. And so much so, we need to hear what the word of the Lord is for this moment. And through Jeremiah, the prophet, so God uses different channels, uses different vessels. Sometimes he uses people, sometimes all kinds of different vessels, churches, individuals, families, or speaks to you through your time with the Lord. Whatever it is, but God uses channels to speak his word. So I'm what I'm saying this morning is that like Daniel, may we have the spirit of wisdom and understanding to understand the years, to understand the times, and to know what ought to happen. And this is the amazing thing about Daniel, is that he knew that the captivity they had gone to, remember, the people were taken into Babylon, they were taken away from home, but they knew, and Daniel knew, because he not only knew the law from the book of Moses, he not only knew and read what Jeremiah was saying, but now he could hear the word of the Lord says 70 years, according to what Jeremiah the prophet said. It's only going to be 70 years. Now the time is expiring. We need something needs to happen. Okay? So I'm highlighting here again and again. I'm repeating that on purpose to get this in our hearts and mind this morning. He understood the times, and Daniel knew what ought to be done. And shortly after, they came out of the captivity after 70 years under the leadership of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and they begin to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And you can find that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. You can read about the whole thing there. So my question this morning is, what are the times that we're living in? What is happening right around us? And I thank God for Amy and Dina for sharing a little bit what's happening as they went there firsthand in Europe. So get connected to the scriptures, like Daniel. Get connected to what God is saying now. Get connected to what the prophets are saying in the scriptures. What the prophets are saying now. What the word of the Lord is saying. What the law says. What the people, man, God is appointing are saying. Now I want you to read. I want to read a couple more scriptures here, a few others as well afterwards. But you know, I tend to have a long introduction. This is introduction, okay? All right, Matthew. Chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. And this is what it says. This is the Pharisees and Jesus now talking to one another. Now, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus, okay? They were a religious group of people who we often refer as hypocrites, okay? But they just knew the Word of God. They knew the Bible in and out, but they didn't practice it. And they were trying to corner Jesus here. And this is what it says. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were sad, you see. Okay, and testing him, asked what he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, Jesus answered to them, right, okay, read that now. He answered, this is Jesus, and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Okay. I hope it's sinking in. Jesus is saying, you know, by looking at the weather, what's coming. All right? You look at all these things, you know what's coming. But we cannot, why is it that you cannot discern the signs of the times? Luke 12:56, it says the same thing again. Hypocrites! You cannot discern, so you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Now, I want to quickly say a couple of things here. Jesus came the first time and died on the cross for us. Jesus is coming back again. And all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. But before Jesus returns, He makes some very clear statements. I'm not going to go through the details. You can read some of that in Matthew 24 and all of that. But there's at least two things that are characterized. That before he comes, there are certain things that will be very evident. And I believe that these are some of the signs that we ought to be looking for. And then the first thing is, as in the days of Noah. So what that means is, before Jesus returns, the things that happened during the days of Noah, you will see the same kind of thing happening around the world. The second thing is, as in the days of Lot. Shall we read the scriptures really quickly? Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39. Or perhaps we should read Luke. Sorry, put Luke instead. Luke 17. Because it's got both in there. Luke 17, verse 26 to 30. Sorry, I haven't got that there, so maybe if you can... Oh, do I have? Okay, I do. Okay, all right. Never mind. Okay, all right. Sure. Great. What verse did I say? 26. Let's read 26, okay? 1, 2, 3. And, well, hang on, I'll read it for you. All right, how's that? Okay. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. My brother got married yesterday, by the way, but I'm not saying that's the problem yet, right? Okay. They ate, they ate, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it also, it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So when before Jesus returns again, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, we shall see that happening all across the earth. What are those two things? What are those two things? What happened in the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 tells us. And I'm bringing that forward. And you see for yourself. And you look. Let's look around us. And let's consider very carefully, shall we? Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's how the days of Noah were characterized. And we all know the story of Noah after Noah built the ark. It rained on the earth for 40 days and brought about a whole destruction of the whole entire earth, where obviously Noah took the animals in. And so hopefully you remember the story here. But as it was in the days of Noah. The second thing is, as it was in the days of Lot. And during the day of Lot, if you read back the story, he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they wanted to, and the prevailing thing that was there was sodomy, which is homosexuals. Okay? And I want you to take note of one thing. It says they ate, they drank, they did all kinds of things. They married, they gave themselves into marriage. They were just doing life and living life like that, just like normal. And then it says the Son of Man will return. So that means when Jesus returns, he will feel like a normal day. It's not going to feel too foreign, you know? Okay? But what I want you to see, two things though, is that people's heart were doing evil in the sight of God continually, not just sometimes, it was continually. And the second thing, sodomy. Now, I want you to just observe something. And I'm not setting any date. I'm not saying, implying anything here. But what we are called to do is discern the times. That we can do. We can see right now, all across the world, the increase of all these things that we are talking about. Never before has homosexuality and same-sex marriage be so open and public, and so in kind of like in our face and into, you know, the laws and all these things, as it is currently throughout the whole world. I'm not saying that there was never been homosexual, but never has it been so prevalent and so open and so public and so vocal for their rights. So it should get us to think, what is happening? What are the times that we're living in? And you know, when we look at our own country, I mean, just recently, in the last year, we had the same-sex marriage approved. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Some of the challenges that we're facing. I want to put a list of things, as it's just a summary of current issues. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily Europe. I'm not talking about America. I'm not talking about China. But you know, if you've been looking at the news, what's happening a little bit around there. What's happening in China right now? How are the Christians persecuted? And how they've got all these CCTV cameras that are crazy, like really, you know, monitoring everything that comes in and comes out and what they do and what they don't do and what they where they go, and everything is just being monitored. So I want you to think for a moment, what are the times that we're living in? But right now in our nation, in our own country, we live in a beautiful country. It's very peaceful. We don't have as near as many issues as some of the other countries have. But we are facing some real issues that will have consequences on the future generations. Some of the issues that we're facing right now is got to watch out for free speech. Because if you express your view too much, you might be considered a bigot. Number two, religious freedom. But we thank God that with the new prime minister, he wants to take measures to protect that. Thank God for raising up a born-again prime minister. Some of you agree. Could be worse, right? Okay. Number three, same-sex marriage. Look, we don't hate them. We don't hate those people. We're just saying this is not the word of God. This is not God's way. This is not what builds society. This is not what values that produces life. Okay? Radical gender policies. So you can change gender. And there are policies that, you know, they want to implement whereby you don't have a say. And there's a particular term like you can't convert them back with some therapy, conversion therapy or whatnot, I can't remember the term, whereby they say that if someone chooses to change gender, you know, you're not allowed to impose or say anything to change their minds. Do you know what I'm talking about? That means if tomorrow this little child here, maybe my, let's say someone close or related to me says I'm confused or I'm having through this difficulty here, and you know I feel like I should change my gender. And if I were to approach this person and say, look, this is not what the Word of God says, and if I try to change his mind about the matter, that would not be considered lawful. So we need to protect those things. Religions in schools, they want to take it out completely. Safe school programs, which is absolutely not safe. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Or do I need to slow down? Abortion. Now we heard some good, some positive news, because in Queensland they're trying to pass this bill here. And they had a good number of petition that was put in, and that was like the biggest number they've had for any petition. So that's a good start. It's a good thing. And this is the things that we need to continuously do. But there's this whole issue of abortion and euthanasia. Okay, I don't want to go into the details of what those issues are, but these are real issues that we are facing in our own nation, own problems that we are facing. And sometimes we think it doesn't affect us, but it affects the next generation. It affects the entire next generation and how they relate, how they identify themselves, what they think is right, what is approved, what is coming from the authorities. And I'm saying to you this morning that everything that we hold dear as Christians, everything that we hold dear, as far as the Word of God has been given to us, is being attacked right before our eyes, right in front of us. We're not talking about Europe, we're talking about Australia, okay? Because for me, it took me a while, because I thought, Australia is a great country. I mean, I mean, they say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I was like the opposite. Can anything bad come out of Australia? I don't know if you get that, but... So, my first point here, I want to quickly mention 4 points. The first one is, let's strive and ask God, and let's pray this is for this moment, is let's ask God to understand the times that we are in. Daniel understood. Daniel was filled with wisdom and understanding, and we want to pray this morning that God will open our eyes to help us see the current issues that we are facing. What times are we living in? Are they the days that Jesus characterized that before his coming, those things are going to be an increase? I'm not saying he's coming anytime in the next year or so, but I'm saying, are these the signs of the times that Jesus mentions about? So Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, let the grace of the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon our eyes this morning to help us understand the urgency of the times that we're living in. Cause us to see and understand, not only to know the times, but to know what we ought to do in this moment, in this hour, in Jesus' name. Awaken our hearts, awaken our spirit right now to stand up and to be alert and to pray and to be connected to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, if sometimes it's hard to, you know, when you bring those things out, you know, many minds are running to and fro. What am I trying to say? What is he implying? What is he trying to say out of saying all of that? Now, I don't want to go into too great detail because I want to move on and finish this off. But look at one thing, and we've mentioned this in the past, but I want to mention it again. In the book of Revelation, and this is not there, so just pay attention for a moment here. Just stay with me. In Revelation chapter 13, it says this. Okay, I know I'm touching a lot on the end times things, but because I believe that we need to understand the times that we're living in so that we ought to know what we ought to do. So the first thing is, or the thing that I want to mention is in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about that no one will be able to buy or sell anything unless they had the mark of the beast on their hands or forehead. Okay? Now, if some of you might remember, we showed this video that in America, some companies have already implemented it. In Australia, they're trialing it. You know, Bankwest was using like a chip as a trial, but they, you know, like a portable one. But people are already in their right hand or whichever hand, doesn't matter, putting chips in their hands that acts like, you know, everything. You know, the bank account, maybe your access to a particular door, or all kinds of things, your medical info, and everything is just in this little chip. And all you need to do is tag that chip wherever you go, you know, and all these things are accessible to you. Something to think about, right? What am I saying? That we are going towards a cashless society, isn't it? Again, I'm not implying anything as of yet, but I'm just asking you and I to consider the times we're living in. What is happening right about us? Is everything that we're going through right now leading us somewhere? And we have to see that. Daniel understood. 70 years of captivity after that, something ought to happen. I'm saying to you, you and I can ask God, help us to see, are we living in times where we need to be awakened and be alert? Whether Jesus comes back whenever, I mean, he definitely can't come back next year because there are so many things that needs to happen before that happens. But I'm not trying to convince you Jesus is coming back. But nevertheless, of what your and my view is, even in Paul talked about it as if it was happening at any time, in any moment. And I'm challenging you and I because I feel that it's a challenge for my own self to really look at what am I trying to achieve with my life right now. And set our priorities right. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, really quickly. And this is the number one thing that God tells, and I think this will make it clear. All right? It's on the screen. This is Paul, missionary, the apostle, the one who wrote one third of the New Testament. And he writes this. He says, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." That means when Jesus returns, it's going to be like as if a thief just broke into that inside the house. But not for all. This is why we need to keep reading, right? Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, treaty, peace, okay, think about it. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. Verse 4, but you brethren, but you sister, okay, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, the sons of the day. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. So I want you to see something here. It's like saying Jesus is going to come back, but he's going to come back like as a thief in the night. But he says, but hang on, but you are not of darkness. You are of the light. Therefore, be sober and be watchful. That means you and I don't have to be caught by surprise. I'm not saying we know the day and the hour, all right, the minute and the hour, but I'm saying you and I will know the seasons and the times. All I'm asking you to do this morning is watch the signs of the times and think about it. Could we be closer? We're definitely closer than further. I mean, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died, okay? It's a thought. But could we be closer? We're definitely closer. How close? Okay? But we sense in the spirits it's getting closer and closer. So where is our safety? You look around the world and you look at all these things that are happening around us. What is our safety? Should we be worried? Should we be concerned? Should we be anxious? What should we do? Knowing and by observing all these things, it says, but you are not of darkness, you are of the light. I thank Jesus that God took me out of darkness into his life, light. From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We need the light. We need to be in the light. God is light, so you know, we gotta walk under light. Then the blood of Jesus washes us. 1 John, okay, chapter 1. But light. So if anything this morning, I want to say something very important. Okay, that all of us need. And I'm not saying you don't have it, but I'm saying it is so important. We need to be of the light. The only way to be in the light is to have an experience and an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that takes us out from darkness into light. I came growing up in church, Catholic, doesn't matter, in a church, okay? But I never knew, never understood, never had a revelation of who Jesus Christ really was in my life. I was a good religious boy, went to church faithfully every Sunday, tried to do the right things as I understood. And I thought I was great. I thought I was a good boy. But the day that, and I've shared this story many times, but the day that I encountered the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke to me as I was, you know, in a bus and gave me that revelation that I, without him, and I'm so unclean, and got me to look more into who he is. And out of that, I got born again and changed my life completely. And the reality of Jesus was so real that it just turned my life completely. When that happened to me, I was translated from darkness into light. So we're talking about the times we're living in. Which side will we be found when that day happens? Are we in darkness or are we in light? So I want to make sure that everyone here knows what that means. What does it mean to be in the light? Because if we have never truly encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, we can never truly say that we're in the light. We can have a form of godliness, we can have a form of religion, we can have a form of worship, but never knowing the real person, the real God, who so intimately died for us that we might have eternal life. What a thought that Jesus would leave his throne, come as a man, died for my sin and your sin, for the redemption of our sinfulness, taking our place, the judgment and the penalty that you and I deserve, that when the day of his coming, we can be in the light, covered, washed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. I can say this because I know I've experienced this, and I can boldly say that I know God took me out from darkness into his marvelous light. So Jesus ensures that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and gives us access to and brings us into light. So stay in the light. The Word of God is light. The Word of God is truth. And this is another thought I want to throw here, is that whenever God speaks, whenever God says something, can we hear what God is saying? Are we walking in the light? By walking in the light would be when God speaks and reveals something, light exposes some things in my life and I need to change. Does that make sense? All right, so let's walk in the light. As we walk in the light, the Bible says we can be watchful, we can be alert, we can know the signs of the time. Let's walk in light. When the truth of God comes, sometimes it comes as a two-edged sword. Sometimes it pierces the heart. Sometimes it breaks down our pride. But walk in the light. So I hope that makes the point clear this morning. Are we found in the light, and are we walking in the light? The only way we're going to walk in the light is we have to know what the Bible says, what the Scripture says about who Jesus is, because this is the truth, the Word, and the light of God. Amen? So as a result, let me bring it back now with what Dino and what pastors have been emphasizing. And obviously, as you know, as a church, we've been going through two things right now. Foundations of Christian doctrine, which is to build our foundation in the Lord. And we've been looking at the book of Daniel concerning the end times. Okay? And at this time, you know, we need to ensure that in the days that we're living in, we are grounded and rooted in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. So if we can understand the times that we're living in, we know that there are things that are going to happen across the earth that's not going to get easier. But yet God has a plan for His people. But in order for you and I to stand, we need to be rooted and grounded in the faith. For example, with all the issues that we're facing here, what are we going to do about it? We're just going to say, well, it's okay. It's okay. It will work itself out. No. We've got to be like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness, making way for the Lord. And that's why we believe strongly, like, you know, Amy and Dino are talking about, you know, we got to be a voice. We got to speak out because we stand for truth. We stand for the Word of God. We stand because we know that the Word of God works. We know that the truth of God is true yesterday, is true today, and is true forever. You read the Bible was not true only 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. It was true then. It is true today, and it will be true tomorrow, because principles and truth and these things are unchangeable. It is what establishes and sustains a whole nation if they keep it. And the Western society, at least those who've got a little bit of some form of common sense, recognizes that Western society was built upon those values. And that is what made Western society great. And if we want to restore and bring our nation back to where God wants it to be, we're going to have to go back to the Word of God and to the truth of God. So let me say a few last thoughts as I conclude this morning. We talk about being grounded and rooted in the Word of God, and sometimes we think, well, I've been through this class before, or I've done this kind of teachings before. I kind of know the topic, and I'm okay. I read my Bible every day, and that is absolutely great, okay? I have nothing against that, okay? But how many of you know? I mean, funny story, but I was in Malaysia, and I was learning how to make mooncakes. Do you know what mooncakes are? Which is, I think, the Mooncake Festival. Not that we celebrate Mooncake Festival, but we learn how to make... I was learning how to make mooncakes. And for that matter, it doesn't matter whether it's mooncake or whatever it is, right? I enjoy trying to learn how to cook a few things here and there. I can't cook too many things, but the little that I know, I like to try and have some fun or whatever. You can say maybe it's a hobby now, I don't know what you call it, but anyhow, it doesn't matter. A man's got to live to eat to live, right? So I've got to cook anyway. So anyway, all right, so this is a true story, by the way. Okay, anyway, but anyway, say for example, I've seen this repeatedly over these, you know, especially when it comes to cooking, because I'm not that great. Okay, anyway, so you try this recipe out, you ask, hey, Auntie Molly, how do you do this chicken? And then you wash, and then there's okay, thank you, there you go. Okay, then you go and try, you're excited, go back home, get all the ingredients, and begin to do the work, and sometimes, the first shot, you got it right, you're like, whoa, it came out right. So you feel like, I got it, I know how to do it. And then, they're like, okay, yeah, you know how to cook already. Yeah. Bring for life group fellowship. Bring cook again. And then you're just like, yeah, I know I can do it now. I did it once. Okay? Then you try again. So you think you know how to do it because you did it somehow and it came out well. Then I find sometimes I go back the second time and I'll be scratching my hair. I'll be like, what happened? It's like, the skin's supposed to be crispy, it's not very crispy this time, but how come it worked the last time? Then I'd be like, Auntie Molly, what did I do wrong? Hey, did you do this one? Oh, I missed that one. Okay, but you didn't tell me this the last time about this, but somehow it worked. So I'll be like, scratching my head, I'll be like, but I followed everything to the letter that you told me. The first time it worked, technically the second time it should work, but it didn't work. Third time, not as good as the first, but not as bad as the second. A little bit better. Be like, not happy. Because when I try something, I like to get it right. And I'm the type of person, like, if it says this, this, and this, and this, I must have this, this, and this, and this. Only once I've mastered it, then I like to improvise. It's fine. But if I have not mastered it as it is first, I'm not willing to compromise. Okay? Like Daniel, purpose in his heart. My point is, oftentimes we think because the first time we did it, somehow it worked out, we think we got it. But you see, in cooking, I'm not trying to teach you how to cook. You are all better cooks than I am, okay? But I want to try to sound like I know what I'm talking about. But when you cook, you have to consider different factors. The size of the meat, the size of the oven, how thick, how much fat. All those kinds of things, because if you want to cook and get the right texture and everything, you know, you've got to take those things in consideration. You want to make steamed chicken? Is it what size chicken you want? 1.5 kilo, 1.8, 2 kilos? It will have a difference in your pot, and you got to know your pot, you got to know your oven, you got to know all these things. So it takes a bit of trial and error and practice, and you got to keep doing it. Not because I got it right the first time, it so happened that I got it right, it means the rest is just going to come out fine. It never happens with me. I'm telling you, most of the things that I've tried cooking, never once and always, eternally, forever and ever, amen, worked out well. Okay, you're probably asking yourself, why am I talking about this, right? What I'm trying to say is sometimes we've gone through a class and we think we know all the foundation and we're good. But what I'm challenging you to think is that it comes with repetition, it comes with practice, it comes with, you know, if you want to study something, you're not going to have one lecture, and that one lecture you had about this topic is going to carry you through for the exam, and you don't need it anymore. Just once was enough. No, you've got to go back to it, review it, ask questions, expound it, and do assignments, and do your research, and do all kinds of things. Am I talking any sense? All right? My encouragement to you is, as people of God, knowing the times that we're living in, how are we going to ensure that we can stand strong? And if nothing happens in our generation, at least we're doing something for the next generation. Is that true? You know, let me say this, because I think it's a humbling experience, and it should help us to humble ourselves when we look at the things of, you know, sometimes we think foundation of Christians. Again, foundation. Well, I've been a Christian for 15 years. Why are you talking about foundation? Are you saying I'm still a baby? No, it's not saying that. Okay? I'm not saying that to say that to anything in particular, but it just. But the thing is, a humbling experience is, as some of you know, we have a number of Malaysian students that came from. Malaysian student that came, obviously, from Malaysia, but. Yeah, okay, they came from Malaysia. They come here to Perth, and they've been studying. And so I had the privilege to spend a lot of time with them, helping them out with their studies, helping them out with all kinds of things, Bible reading and all kinds of praying together, and spending a lot of time with them. A lot of time, okay? Now, I can look at these experiences and think, man, okay? I'm the boss here, so they got to do what I tell them to do. I'm the teacher, okay? I'm teaching them how to play music. So I feel like I am imparting to them, and I'm teaching them, right? And wow, they're coming out beautiful, right? Because of what I said or because of what I'm doing. No. Okay, no. I'm not trying to say that. But my point is, it can come across like, okay, it's a one-way thing, isn't it? As if I'm learning. No, as if I'm teaching them. And that's where it stops. But I must say, and I must say, and I mean this with all my heart, is that this experience has affected and influenced me more than I think I did to them. All right? It is. This experience has taught me, you know, a lot of things that I had to rethink about my life, readjust how I think, how I talk, how I handle certain things. And, you know, especially when you say it to a child, okay, you need to do this. And then if they look at you and you're not doing it, they won't try to be diplomatic about it. They won't try to find a time, let's take you aside, let's talk about it, let's have a discussion in front of everyone. Hey, but you... And you're like, oops. It's true. No, kids, they don't think about all these things. When something happens, they'll just say it straight out. But it humbles me, because what I'm saying is, spending time with them was not just a one way. Yes, it looks like I'm helping them, but they've helped me, I think, much more in so many ways. I must say that. What I'm trying to say here, in the same way, sometimes we think we've reached it just because we're doing something. Maybe we're a leader in church, or maybe we're a leader of a life group, or maybe we do this, or we're part of this ministry, and we're part of this and part of that. But I'm saying there's much more when we humble ourselves. To be grounded and rooted in the Word of God takes humility. And so not to think that we have it all, we in fact don't have. And I will say this as well. I have the privilege to obviously do the Book of Daniel with all of you. Okay, we studied it from Kevin Connor, and you know, we get a lot of the materials, our materials from there. But I'm humbled by that. I don't say that I know it all. And in fact, the more, the second time, the third. For me, some of those things that I'm going through again, it's again and again and again. And it's helping me see things clearer and clearer. Not because I went through it once, I thought, wow, I know it all. In fact, there's so many things you still think you got to dig through. So are you and I grounded in the Word of God? Do you and I know who we are in Christ Jesus? Because it's going to take, you know, ourselves to be committed like Daniel. So in these last days, ask yourself, what times are we living in? Number one, what ought we to do? You and I must at least, and I now we'll talk about a few other things that I have in my heart to also say, but I will keep it to this one thing. Are we grounded and rooted in the Word of God? It took, let me conclude and finalize with this. I know I always conclude 5 times, but this is my conclusion. Daniel is one person who put scriptures, prophets, the word of the Lord. Okay, listen to this. Okay, I'm going to say this thing. He's one person who took the scriptures, the word of the Lord, and events all in one to understand the times. I will say this again. Daniel was one person who had understanding. He knew how to take scriptures. Now read Daniel chapter 9 verse 1 to 2 again. Scriptures, what the word of the Lord is saying, and world events in one. So that means he looked at what was happening around the world in his time. He looked at the scriptures. He understood what the word of the Lord was saying. Put all three together and prophesied. And this is what I'm saying to you today. Look into the word. What is God saying? Look at the world events. Where are we standing right now? What ought we to do? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. This is a challenge to me, because just like you, we've got to take this seriously and say, okay, what are we going to do about this? First things first, let's be grounded and rooted in the love and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have that, no foundation in the last days, so many things will happen, we will be shaken. But you and I can be founded on the rock that cannot be shaken. Amen? So I invite you this morning, if you do not have this as a sure foundation, and let me say this, it is not a form of religion, it is Jesus Christ. I know that I had to understand that. My father had to understand that. Okay, and I praise God that yesterday he testified, you know, that it took him a long time, but he went through. Amen. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that as we observe what is happening around us, we know the times that we're living in. These are some serious times. And we look at everything, oh God, what are we to do? What are we going to do? There's so many things. It's reality. We can't escape it. But we thank you that there's a hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way, the only truth, the only life. The eternal God, the beginning and the end, who controls all the affairs of this world. I declare, as it is written in Revelation 11, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. So in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, let us be grounded and rooted in your love, to know you and to pursue and to seek and to continue and to persevere in these last days, in Jesus' name, as the face of persecution is coming all from all around the world and all kinds of things, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for your divine protection. We pray for your divine intervention. I pray for, let there be a divine encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Word of God will be the sure foundation of what we stand upon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I activate this right now. I activate a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. A thirst that we will continue and go on and go on and go on to perfection, go on to maturity. In the name of Jesus, Lord, release that right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.